Continuing our discussion with the Nefshachaim this week, and it actually somewhat relates to the parsha. If we have time, we'll explain how. And good evening. There's a very famous passage from Nefshachaim, Shar Gemel Perk Yudbeis, that you have over here. And the way I want to do it is look at six statements from Rabbi Chanina, or one of them is from his son, which I think all reflect the same dialectic, which is what we've been dealing with. And namely, that is the relationship between Hashem and his Achdos Einod Melvado on the one hand, versus A, Bechira Chafshis, and B, Ishtadlos, or the like. So let's take a look at these six statements from Rabbi Chanina, and we'll consider how to resolve them, especially in light of the Nefshachaim. So the first one, Vam Rabbi Chanina, Ein Adam Nokeith Etzbo Milamata, Elim Kain, Machrizin Alav Milamala, Shenemar, Me Hashem Etzadei Gaver, Konanu, Adam Mayitein Darko. So this statement suggests that there is absolute hashkacha, that everything that happens to a person, even something as small as stubbing your finger, is determined from heaven. Now, the truth is, it doesn't actually say nigzar lav mishamayim, it says machrizin, which could be understood as announced, but not necessarily determined, but the way this is generally understood, including by Rishonim, is as a reflection of Hashgacha practice. So,
if not, what would be the point?
Yeah, so the Meiri, who has a more narrow approach to Hashgacha, says that way, and he says the point is to tell you that there's din. In other words, there's justice. So even if within a perspective of a more limited Hashgacha, that somehow or another has to allow for justice. Hashem wouldn't allow for injustice, but it doesn't mean it's exeira min Hashemayim. But al kol panim, the simple understanding is, like we said, that everything is subject to hashgacha, even the smallest things, like nokeith etzbo.
I don't understand. It says a person can't do things unless it's announced about him from above. I mean, what is that?
What it sounds like, again, is if I stub my toe, so it was supposed to happen. It was announced in heaven that I was going to stub my toe today.
Okay, I read it. Okay.
And dictated or controlled by heaven. Mm-hmm. The next Gemara, Eino Milvado, Amar B'chanina, Afilu L'dvar K'shafim. So this is actually the same daf, the same page. Pasuk we've been talking a lot about, Eino Milvado. And Enod Movado means, even with respect to Kisha, there's nothing besides God. And we have a story that illustrates this. Hahi Isisa, Dehaves Kamehadra Lemishko Afra Mituse Kare Drebi Chanina. So this was a witch, and she was trying to do Kisha against Rabbi Chanina. Amar La, Imistayas Zili Avidi, give me your best shot. Enod Movado, if I have nothing to worry about, there's nothing besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eini, Vam Rav Yochanan, Lama Nikra Shema Nikshafim, Shema Krishin Pamal Yishomala. The very word Kishuf comes from the fact that they can seemingly contravene the divine plan. In other words, God has a plan, and through Kishuf, they can contravene that plan, undermine that plan. So the Gemara answers, Shari Rabbi Chanina Denafish Zechusei, that Rabbi Chanina has... Sounds like it's saying he has a lot of zchuyos, he is a big tzaddik, therefore he doesn't have to worry. However, the Nevzachayim has a different understanding of this. It doesn't mean that he has a lot of zchuyos per se, but it means that he has internalized the truth of Eino Milvado. So let's take a look at the Nevzachayim, which is the second half of your sheet. Zeu inyan shadar shuzal al pasuk, ki Hashem hu alokim, Ein od melvado. Amar b'chanina filuk shafim. Ki kol inyanei pu'ulos hakshafim, Nimshach me'akochos hatoma shel hamerkavat tmeya. Where do these powers for kishuv lie? The merkava hatmeya, whatever that means. V'hu inyan chachmas hakishuv shayu Sanhedrin tzrichen leida. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that these are one of the things that the Sanhedrin has to know about. Hainu chachmas shemos hatoma v'yedias inyanei kochos hamerkava tmeya b'shemosehem. Shayidei shal yadam yifalu baalei hakishufim peulos ve'inyanim mishunim kishemashbiin kochos hatuma bivchinas hatov shebo sheyashbiya b'tocho chios lasos niflos hepech seder kochos hativis v'amazonos. Like we said before, makhishin pamalia shamala, they thwart God's plans. Vayin etzchaim sharklipas noga reish perkdat. Machbas Shekein kavabore adon kol yisborach inyane kochoseha lemala mikochos hativim hanimshachin me hakochavim v'amazol shalideze yevikocham lasos pulos gam hipoch tivei kochos hakochavim mazolos shehukva bahem be'ez habriya. What the concept here that he's saying is that there are laws of nature, what we call teva, and a person could use their bechira to change, not the laws of nature, but in a sense, God's plan, at least that's what it seems, using their bechira. I can choose to hurt somebody. The system, there's a system of nature, we call that teva, and there's a system, if you could call it supernature, of metaphysical forces or the like, which again, a person who knows how to use them, whether it's Shemos HaKadoshim or Shemos or using these kochos hatama or the like, to also accomplish what they seek to accomplish. Kayadua shakol koach ba'olam kavabo abor isbarach koach v'yicholos lahani v'lahatos es hakoach v'olam shetachtav l'chol asheyu shama haruach. So there's a hierarchy in terms of olamos, but this is just another olam that God created. Umasha kasav sham, shemachishim pamalia shalmala, ratzolom, shirak sidr kochos hapamalia, shal kochav hamazos kava haboris borach, koach bekochos hatamash, she yehu yecholim hafcham, avalo, she yehe bekocham lashanos chashashal mesedar pulos hakadoshim, shal kochos hamerkava kadosha. In other words, we're given a certain amount of power at each dargah, but not more than that. There are limits. Vadrava. And he quotes the Zohar and the Eitz Chaim and the like. Ki ein ol milvado yisborach milvado yisborach bal akochos kulam. Because God, in fact, of course, is bal kol akochos kulam. The gam shebe emes halo hakol malo rak atzmos achduso hapasha yisborach. The ein ol milvado shum mitzias koach klal. Lo kochas atumav lo shum koach v'shum olam v'nivra klau, as we've been seeing in the last weeks. Even in reality, there's nothing besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zeh shekasav enor melvadu afilu kshachem, and that indeed is what the Gemara says. In other words, God created a world, God created a system, both a natural system, a supernatural system, which we as human beings have the ability to use to accomplish our ends. But in reality, enor melvadu, meaning to say, they have no independent power, and there's something that's above them. V'zeu shemevi ashas avodah zarah. The Gemara that we saw in Chulin is also an avodah zarah. Uvda dehu issasa dehaves kamahadre lemishkal afra metuse kari de Rabbi Chanina. Amar lashkule lo mestaya milseich ein od molvado ksefu parch v'amar Rabbi Yochanan. Lama nikra shmang shafim shemakrishim pamali shamala. In other words, how could Rabbi Chanina not be worried about kishuf? Doesn't he have to take precautions? Doesn't he have to be safe? After all, God gave certain kochos to kishuv. So just like I have to take precautions against somebody else's free will, if there's somebody who's dangerous, I shouldn't go out alone at night. I have to take precautions. He has free will, and therefore I have to do my hishtadlah. So too, the Gemara asks, how could Rabbi Chanina not be worried about these machashvos? He has to do hishtadlos. He has to be safe. So Shani Rabbi Chanina Nafesh Tchuse. What does that mean? Vadesh lo yamachsek atzmo harchanina de Nafesh Tchuse kol kach mitoraso maisek tovim arubim ad she Be'avuram ha'yasomech libo shlo yishlofo pulas k'shavim. Clearly it doesn't mean that because he was such a big tzaddik, he didn't have to do his ishtablos, he didn't have to be safe. For one thing, because tzaddikim don't rely on their righteousness. Like the Ramban says, with respect to Yaakov Avinu, he did all the ishtablos before encountering Esav that he could have possibly done. And the Gemara even asks from Rabbi Yochanan, and not to take anything away from Rabbi Hanina, but the Gemara is clear that the other Amoraim, or the other Tanaim, whoever they were, would take precautions. So what does it mean? Avalinin kosh kasavti lal. Kevinsh be'emes ein bekochos hamerkava tamei shum koch me'atzmam chalila. Since be'etzem these kishuf, these kochos hatom have no independent power, ela shu yiz baruch kava kocham lamala mikochos tivi ha'kochavim hazolos kedei she'al yedei zeh yehei b'yecholtam lasos pulos af gam l'shanu sidrei tam hazolos uvil tiz baruch heim efes, probably the tohu. So it's only that God gave them certain powers. L'chein gam Rabbi Chanina lo shebatach al schus kedushas torasu ma'is v'mubim. It's not that he was somech al ha'neis because he was boteach on his righteousness. He was confident that he had this emuna of ein od milvado la'amita. Absolutely. Shein od milvado yisbarach shum koach klal. There is nothing besides God. In other words, he didn't buy into this illusion that these things have koach.
But even if he wouldn't have schus, in other words, it's a mistake for anyone to be scared. Is that what he's saying?
If someone really believed in it.
Even if you don't believe in it.
No. If you don't believe in it, they have power. Let's read this sentence, okay. And then we'll try to explain. V'hidbik atzmo b'kedushas machshavta lebal hakolchos kulam, adon yachid hamalo kol almin, v'ein kan shum shlita umetzias koach acher klal. Because he had fully believed, ein od milvado, that the other kochos are not really independent, l'chein haya nachon libo batuach b'zeh,
Right before the skula, then he talks about the skula after.
This is the skula, yes.
He doesn't talk about the skula yet.
I guess I entered a little more.
Paragraph.
But this is the skula.
Right.
This is the famous skula. They say that the Briska Rav used this skula, I think, when he was escaping from the Nazis during World War II. That if a person really believes in ein od milvado, then these kochos have no shlita over them. And this is true, both with respect to these metaphysical powers like kishuf or even other natural, physical things. And that's the skula, like you said. Now, going back to your question, of course it's true, ein od milvado. But what he's saying is that if someone doesn't really believe it, singing it and saying it is insufficient, you have to live your life by it. Now,
you don't have to anything yet. They don't have any real power.
They don't have any real power, but they do have power. God gave them power. But if you believe, if you can tap into a koach that's above that, then they have no power. The Rambam actually says in Maran Vuchim something very similar to this, not identical, but I think it'll be helpful in understanding this. The Rambam, of course, writes that someone who is constantly mizdabek to HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't be harmed by other people. Rambam believes that the level of hashgacha a person experiences depends on the degree to which they connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And at the moment that they're being connected, that they are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, other kochos can't harm them. He explains that Sipshatin, the Kapitol Tehillim, the Yinoam, that Yipol Mitzidcha Elech Uvavar Mininacha Elecha Lo Yigash, that they have no power. Nobody has power over you. If you're Mesiach Das for a moment, then that connection between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu breaks, and then you could be subject to harm. And he explains that was the mile of the Avos, that the Avos, even while they were engaged in worldly affairs, they never were Mesiach Das from thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore they were subject not just to constant Hashgacha, but even to constant shmira.
How similar is this to having a high level of betachon?
So I think it's very similar idea. It works differently, but it's a similar type of concept. In a certain sense, both the Rambam and Nefesh HaChaim understand this idea works naturalistically. What I mean by naturalistically is that there is a system which exists. And for the Rambam, Hashgacha is naturalistic. To the degree to which you're Meschaber to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have that Hashgacha and Shmira. And the same thing is true according to the Nefesh HaChaim. Again, their perspectives are very different, and they come to that conclusion from very different vantage points. But in a sense, it's actually quite similar. So, but that has to be real. It has to be true. But let me give you a mashal. A person goes ahead, and in the YU, we just finished finals and the like, so they go ahead and they don't study for their midterms. They get a pretty bad grade. It's Dvar Hashem, you know. It wouldn't have failed if Hashem didn't want me to fail. And that's true. And then comes along finals, and they're like, you know what, I better study. And they study very hard, and they say, they get a good grade. Oh, look, I worked so hard, and it paid off. So that's also true. But obviously that person isn't being honest with themselves. It's very easy to say it's all from Hashem. But do you really, truly believe it? Is the rest of your life lived from that perspective and the like? So when the Gemara says, Shani's Rabbi Chanina did not say, that's an extraordinary madrega. It's a madrega that you see from that Gemara that clearly other Amoraim didn't even reach. It's a madrega in which you've truly internalized Ein Od Melvado. And just saying it is something that, you know, otherwise it would be very easy. Nobody would ever be harmed by anybody. They'd just be singing Ein Od Melvado and they would be safe. So that's what Nafesh Chusei means. Nafesh Chusei is an extraordinary madrega. Okay, so now let's go back to
I think so. Like, how would you explain the Rabbi Akiva? I mean, he...
That's a very good question. So... I'd say two things.
What aspect?
Number one, Rabbi Akiva not reach this madrega and they harmed him?
Oh.
Yeah.
So number one is, the way Chazal tell us that story, is had Rabbi Akiva wanted to, or the Asar HaRugei Malchus wanted to stop this, they could have, right? And they went up to Shemayim, Rabbi Yishmael went up to Shemayim, and they said, no, this is a gzeira, and you're not supposed to fight it. And they were mekabel. Meaning to say that sometimes a tzaddik understands that there was a reason for something, something had to happen in this world, and it shouldn't be battled. That's an answer that I saw.
But that's like dangerous, because all the tzaddikim, by Rishon, Yosef and tzaddik, they were all the Kabbalah, they all sort of stopped everything.
It's a very good question. Mashiach, yeah, not well, I don't know bringing Mashiach, I didn't say that.
They couldn't build their towers, and they just were...
I understand. It's a very good question. In light of this, why...
Moshe asked Hashem, why is it Tzadik Ra? Right? Implying that even the Tzadik, by Moshe's standards,
right,
could have Ra, and he didn't have an answer.
Well, that's not true. According to the Medrash that you're quoting, that he asked the question, Hashem did give him an answer. He said, Tzadik Sheino Gamor, Rasha Sheino Gamor. So he didn't say, I don't know. But you're right, that's also not the whole story, because Yirmiyahu also asked, Madua Derech Hashem Tzalecha. So that's a good question. And perhaps your question is better than the answer. But for now, that's the answer I'm going to give, at least since you asked for Rabbi Akiva, and that is true in Rabbi Akiva. Al Kopanim, that's what the Nefesh HaChaim says. Nefesh HaChaim says that somebody can't be harmed if they've internalized that value. So again, so far we have two statements of Rabbi Chanina. Number one is there's hashgacha on everything. And number two is that if a person truly appreciates Ein Od Melvado, then they can't be harmed. These two statements relate to each other. So a person might go ahead and, in light of these first two statements, say, okay, so there's no need to do hishtadlos, right? But then we have statements three and four, which seem to say the opposite, also from Rabbi Chanina. Amru Chanina, kol b'dei shemayim, chutz mitzinim u'pachad, Shenemar tzvinim upachim baderach ikesh shomer nafsho yirchak mehem. So what does that mean? That everything is b'di shamayim, except for tzvinim upachim. So if you go outside without a coat, you'll get sick. If you don't take reasonable precautions, it sounds like it's not b'di shamayim. In other words, somebody gets sick, they're supposed to get sick. It's because Hashem wanted them to get sick. But that's not if you're an idiot. If you're an idiot and you get sick, so then you have only yourself to blame. Now, maybe you'll say, that's very rare, okay? Not, you know, most things aren't like that. That's just going outside without a coat when it's 20 degrees outside. But interestingly enough, in the Yerushalmi, source number 4, Rabbi Chanina says, Rabbi Chanina v'Shmuel, Trehon Amrin, Tzadi Tes Meisim v'Tzina, V'chad B'dei Shamayim, 99 out of 100 deaths are caused because people didn't exercise, or they didn't eat well, or they weren't shomer nafsho. They didn't take proper precautions. So it's very fascinating that Rabbi Chanina is really saying two things. And they're both true, obviously. I don't think he thinks it's a stira. One is that even and moreover, even the whole possibility of Bali Bechira to harm you is an illusion. If you truly, truly, truly believe Eino Mavado, at the same time, you have to take appropriate precautions. And if you don't, you'll be harmed. And in fact, most people are harmed that way.
Is that also anything to do with your Madriga? Like, for example, Shevet Levi did Mila in the Midbar, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They felt they were above that risk. They had enough betachon that they were above that risk.
So, right. So one resolution, which you're suggesting, which is a possible resolution, how do we reconcile statements 1 and 2 with 3 and 4, is to say that 1 and 2 are for Bali Madrega, or Bali Bitachon, or people that believe in Eino Mavado. And 3 and 4 is about other people. And if you don't believe in it, then you're indeed subject to the forces of nature and the like. That's
and
one possible.
That's the 99 and 1.
Right. So that's one possible resolution. For now, I think there are other answers we could give. But what's worth thinking about is that it's quite fascinating that Rabbi Chanina said both of them. He said all 4 statements. I think Rabbi Chanina, as we'll see as well for the next 2 statements, this is a very important topic for him. So the first 4 statements relate to, we could say, hashgacha and free will, and teva. Let's look at 5 and 6, which also relate to the same question, though, from a different perspective. Number 5. Amar Rabbi Chanina, kol b'dei shamayim chutz mir shamayim. Shenemar v'ata Yisrael ma'ashem alokach ha'shal me'imach ki'im lira. So everything is in God's hands, except for your Shemayim. Rashi explains, what does it mean, everything is God's hands? All sorts of things, like will a person be tall or short, healthy or sick often, will they be successful or unsuccessful? There are lots of sorts of things that really are beyond our control. But not your Shemayim. So just like we saw in source number 3, Rabbi Chanina said that a person can act in a reckless way, in which case they have only themselves to blame. Likewise, as much as God has control, as we see from statement 1, or really even here, statement number 5, HaKol Bidei Shamayim. But there's one thing, or now we see 2 things, that aren't Bidei Shamayim. And we can really say they're the same. They're both Bechira, meaning to say, Yir Shamayim, the Rambam as a Tshuva says, in this statement, Yir Shamayim should be understood very broadly. It means all decisions that we make. Yir Shamayim could affect what I eat for breakfast, because my Yir Shamayim should weigh on that decision. Kol Ma'aseh Yehu L'Shem Shamayim. So, yes, HaKol B'dei Shamayim, but not Yir Shamayim. We derive that from the Pasuk. What does the Pasuk say? What does God ask of you but to fear him? So if that's what he asks of you, so clearly, it's your choice. And finally, statement number 6. So this is not a statement we're going to see from Rabbi Chanina, but his son. Though I saw that some of the Girsa from Rabbi Chanina as well. This is a very problematic Gemara. And we'll have to figure out how it relates to the other five, but I think it fits right in. Rabbi Belazar, Eliyahu hitiach dvarim klape malash, shenamar v'atasi bosas libam achoranis. So Eliyahu really blames God. The people in Eliyahu's generation did a lot of very wicked things. They were idolaters, as we know. And Eliyahu says, you know what, Hashem, it's your fault. You turned them backwards. Amar Shmuel bar Rebbe Yitzchak, minayin shechazar HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'hodalo l'Eliyahu. And God, in fact, concedes that Eliyahu was right. Tichsiv, v'asher her'ati, that I did bad to them, meaning say, yes, it was my fault. As I said, this relates to this week's parsha, of God's hardening Paro's heart, among other things. Amar Rabbi Rambam in, well, we'll get there in a second. Amar Rabbi Chama, the Rabbi Chanina, Yilmali Shalosh Mikraos Halalu, Nismotetu Raglam Shalsone Yisrael. Were not for these three psukim, the feet of the enemies of the Jewish people, but that's a euphemism, would be weakened. In other words, this is our defense. What is our defense? We've done many bad things throughout the ages. Pasuk number one, Chad, Tachsev, Va'asher, Herati, the pasuk we just quoted, God says, I was the one who made you do bad. V'chad, Dechsev, Hinei Kachomer B'yad HaYotzer, Kein Atem B'yadai Beis Yisrael. You are like clay, like material, in the hands of the creator, in the hands of the potter. So are you in my hands, the Jewish people. V'chad, Dechsev, V'hasirosi es leif ha'evan mibsarchem, V'nasati lachem leif basar. Meaning, say, now we have a leif evan. So,
where is this
Gemara? Brachos Lamed Aleph on the base to Lamed Beis Med Aleph. And Rav Papa Amar Mehacha Ve'esruchi Etein Berkir Bechem Vasisi Es Asher Bechukai Teilechu. So all these psukim point to the same thing, that God controls us, and seemingly not just us, but even our freedom. The opposite of source number five, right? God's controlling the shots, almost like we don't have freedom. How do we understand these psukim? So the Rambam actually cites all these psukim in Perek Vav of Hilchos Tshuva when explaining the hardening of Paro's heart. Perek Hei and Vav of Hilchos Tshuva are about the notion of free will, also into Perek Zayin. And the Rambam says there are many psukim that seem to contradict this idea of freedom. Among them, God's hardening Paro's heart in our parsha. And among them, all of these psukim. And the Rambam answers that, yes, generally speaking, we have free will, but sometimes a person sins in an egregious manner that God punishes them by taking away that freedom. Free will, in a sense, is a gift. It's an opportunity. And sometimes it could be lost as a punishment. And, of course, a person is not punished for the decisions they made when they weren't free. Shmona Prabhupada, the Rambam sort of implies, at least in Paro's case, that it's mida k'neged mida. Paro didn't take advantage of his freedom. In the first five plagues, for example, it sounds like he hardened his own heart. He refused to honestly look at what was happening, and so he didn't take advantage of freedom. His freedom was taken away. But I'll call upon him, sometimes freedom is taken away from an individual, like in the case of Paro, and sometimes even a generation, like the Pasuk tells us about the generation of Eliyahu, Hashmein Lev Ha'am Hazeh, and Yeshayahu, and other cases. So that's how the Rambam understands these psukim.
So it's sort of like Dalim almost. When the person is not, there's a robot.
Yeah, in a sense. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides to take away a person's ability to do tshuva. However, the simple reading of the Gemara, perhaps, is not that way, because it says that this is a defense for us, right? That ilmale shlosh mikros halalu nismote to raglayhem shel sonei Yisrael, which wouldn't really be so precise for the Rambam. So Tzaddik explains, what does this mean? And this relates to the Sir Sel Azazel, if we're going to get to it. But Ritzadu could explain, what is this pasuk? What does this Gemara mean? It means that in reality, there is a aspect in which we don't have Bechira. He quotes the Arizal in Sefer Arba Meo Shekel Kasef, B'makom Yediyah Laka Bechira, B'makom Bechira Laka Yediyah. Which means in the realm of Bechira, which is one realm, that's our realm, that's the realm we live in, there is no Yediyah. The Arizal thought that indeed, unlike the Rambam, free will and divine foreknowledge are incompatible. But They're both true, but not on the same plane, but on different planes. So in one realm, our realm, the world in which we live in, the world we experience, there is yediyah. There's no yediyah. There is bechira. But there is a different realm, in a sense, a higher realm, where there is yediyah and there's no bechira. And that's what these psukim are saying. And if a person realizes that, so then, and they've tapped into that idea, then in fact, Rav Tzadok says, they won't be held accountable for their misdeeds. That's how he understands Tshuva Me'ava, why Zdonos Nasos Chuyos. Again, maybe we could talk about that another time. But that's what Source 6 is telling us. Source 6, really, is another version of Source 2, as the Nefesh HaChaim points out with respect to Source 2. The Nefesh HaChaim in Source 2 and Rav Tzadok, when explaining Source 6, are both explaining the perspective of Rabbi Hanina, which is that on one plane we have freedom, on one plane we are subject to the forces of nature. Most people die because of their free choices, our lack of good choices. Most people, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu limits himself of that power, HaKol Bidei Shamayim, Chos Mir Shamayim, and the like. But there's another realm, which a person can, in a certain sense, tap into. And if they truly believe Einod Milvado, then yes, they can't be harmed. And if they truly believe Einod Milvado, then even their Averos, even those decisions, bad decisions that they made freely, are Nasos Chuyos. Because the Makom Yedia, lack of Bechira. And those Averos are also the Dvar Hashem, in which case they are Chuyos. That is what the Nefesh HaChaim and Rav Tzadok say is the resolution to these six statements of Rabbi Hanina. They're all true. Not exactly the way you said it, but they're all true depending on what you're able to access and what you're able to believe in. Like we said before, this is a very high madrega. Just like Tshuva Me'ava is a very high madrega. Just saying Einod Milvado is not going to protect you from the harm that witches or evildoers may throw at you. And likewise, just saying Einod Milvado is not going to turn your chovos into zchuyos. But there's a higher madrega that a person can at least momentarily access. And that is what we said last week as well. Remember, we talked about last week that a person, generally speaking, inhabits the world in which they exist and they are free and able to make decisions and must make decisions. The world of Tzimtzum, the world in which God created a reality whereby we are meant to control things and are able to control things. But a person can, at least occasionally, somehow imagine a deeper realm in which there's nothing else besides him, almost in which he doesn't exist. And that's what Rabbi Hanina was doing. And that's what Rabbi Hanina says over here. What's fascinating is that if we put the Nefesh HaChaim that we saw this week in together with the Nefesh HaChaim we saw last week, there's a danger to thinking about things like this, like we saw before, Ratzav Hashov, that a person has to be careful. We can't go around thinking that way. Why? Because if you go around thinking that you don't have Bechira, then you in fact won't have Bechira. In fact, Rav Tzadok says that was Elisha ben Avuya's, the root of his heresy, was this idea. It's only after you've done tshuva that you can come to this appreciation, not while you're doing it. So this is a dangerous perspective, but in a certain sense, it's true as well. And what I'm suggesting is, I think it's very, very fascinating pattern. This dialectic is something that clearly, as I said, Rabbi Hanina was very, very interested in. And that is why it's Rabbi Hanina who really shows us both sides of the coin on both issues, both with respect to hishtadlus versus divine control of the universe, as well as bechira and tshuva. All right. I'm thinking we're going to... Yeah.
I'll go ahead.
Go.
So that's mostly your thought. There's a plane of the idea and a plane